welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
The Gospel according to Mark, starting at the 25th verse down to the 34th verse. Anybody has that, say amen. And I'll be reading out the King James Version, if you don't mind. Verse 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or power had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what she had done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. We just coming through the Advent season. And one of the things that I like about the Advent season is that we see that God has kept his promise to humanity. God had promised the world, promises people that a Savior will come into the world. And the world is a hopeless and helpless situation for humanity. Kind of quiet. But if you think about the world today, everything in it is going wrong. But God has promised and kept his promise and sent a son into the world, and who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, who came about, and God fulfilling his promise through a virgin named Mary brought him into the world. And he came into the world to bring about hope out of hopeless situations. See, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, all humanity has been plagued by three situations that's found in Mark chapter number 5. And these situations, as we will look at today, is that number one is that in this chapter number 5, we see that there's demon oppression that's plagued humanity. Amen. And also we'll look at that there's also sicknesses that plagues humanity. And also there's death that plagues humanity in Mark chapter 5. But out of all these situations, though, Jesus comes in the midst of us and helps us in a hopeless situation. We see that Jesus in this gospel here, Mark's gospel is that a gospel of action. Mark starts his gospel and said the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark wastes no time. Mark's gospel is action-packed. Mark tells us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the servant of God. Matter of fact, Mark portrays him as the suffering servant of God. And that was talked about in Isaiah chapter 53 and Isaiah chapter 52. And we see that Jesus being a servant, though, even though he's God, he becomes a servant, though. Isn't that amazing, though, how God, who deserves glory, who deserves praise, who gets glory in the heavens, though, decided to put on flesh, humble himself, come among his creation, and then serve his creation, though. I don't know about you, though, but if it was me, though, I would come down and say, no, you serve me. You acknowledge me. You do for me. But God does the opposite, though, because he says his ways are not my ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heavens is above the earth, so are his ways and his thoughts above our thoughts, though. And so we see that Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, walks around doing good and seeks out hopeless and helpless situations, though. He's going about doing good here. And in this chapter, it says that chapter 5, he jumps into a boat. He jumps out of a boat. As soon as he jumps out of a boat, he runs into a man that was plagued by demons or possessed by demons, though. And I know some of y'all don't think that demon possession is real, though. Well, it may not be real, though, but there is demonic influsion that goes on, though. For the Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against spiritual wickedness in high places, though. Don't tell me that the devil's not real, though, because all you got to do is just look in your community, though. When you see brothers and sisters shooting each other, when you see all these young people shooting down, that's not God, that's of the devil, though, because God is love. There's something about, though, when you can have an argument and all of a sudden you settle it with a gun and not settling it with your lips. So here it is that they're going about, and Jesus talks about this thing right here, and he's going about, and it's demonic influence, though. See, we got to be careful. You might remember, though, that even though you're saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, called, set apart, on your way to the glory, that don't mean that the devil ain't going to mess with you, though. You can come to church. You can serve on a deacon board. You can serve on a choir board. You can be a trustee. You can be a minister. You can be an usher. You could be serving in a church. That doesn't mean that the devil won't mess with you. Matter of fact, the devil gonna mark you, though, because if he can discourage you, if he can keep you from doing what you're supposed to do, those that's under your ministry or to sit under you will become discouraged too. Amen. If he can get fathers discouraged, though, if he can get mothers discouraged, though, if he can get children discouraged, though, things will not go right in the household. Things will not go right in the church. And things will not go right into the community. I'm telling you, the devil is real, though. And the only way you're going to defeat the devil is that we need somebody to defeat the devil. And Jesus comes along, though, because Jesus is the power of God manifest in the flesh, though. And the guy jumps out the boat and he sees Jesus, though. And Jesus walking, and the demoniac runs up to him and he worships Jesus. And Jesus said, well, who are you? And he said, we're legion because we many. And Jesus cast out the demons from this man. You know why? Because Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Don't get it twisted, though. Although he looks like a man, although he walks like a man, although he talks like a man, although he runs like a man, although he eats like a man, he is very much God in the flesh. Because only God can cast out devils in your life. Only God can run the trouble out of your life. And Jesus demonstrates who he is by casting out devils on this person, though. But Jesus wasn't through then, because there was a man named Jairus, though, and his little daughter was at the point of death. So the thing about this is that Jesus, the servant of God, is doing what Isaiah said, though. He was come down to what? Bring captivity captive, to heal the sight, to bring blind eyes to light again, though. So here it is that as Jesus is walking and going along, this man that was a ruler of the synagogue, his name was Jairus, though. He was of the upper crest. He was in the court. He was in the church. So he goes about and he heard about Jesus, though, and his situation was that his daughter was dying, and she was at the point of the death. And he had to go about and he heard about this man named Jesus, though. So as he hears about Jesus, though, he catches Jesus with the crowd following him. And you know why the crowd followed Jesus? Because Jesus was extraordinary, amazing, though. He would say things that nobody would say. He would say things like this: seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things that you're trying to get will be added unto you. Well, what are the things he's talking about? Food, clothes, shelter. In today's vernacular, we would say car, shoes, shelter, clothes. Amen. But he says, seek all these things. See what Jesus calls them things. We call them cars. Jesus called them things. Jesus calls them things. We call them houses. Jesus called them things. We call them Rolexes. Jesus called them things. We call them Gucci shoes. Jesus called them things. We call them Michael Kors pocketbook. Jesus called them things. Isn't that what the Bible says? He said, that's what the Bible says now. We gotta look them like God said. They're nothing but things. Stop putting value in things. And start putting value in the kingdom of God. Where the robbers and the thieves can't come in and take them. Where the moth and the rust can't get a hold of it. So here it is that Jairus comes to them, and his daughter is sick at the point of death. And he says, Jesus, can you come with me? And what happens is that Jesus, after he just ministered, delivering a demoniac, goes with Jairus, though. And it was thing like this, though. I know that sometimes after I preach or I teach, and it's hard to go on and get yourself up to do something else. Amen? After you didn't preach, after you didn't deep, after you didn't serve, here it is, you get another call, and you're like, here we go again. But Jesus didn't feel like that. And Jesus, immediately, straightway, he went with him. And then he walked with him. And then the crowd followed him because the crowd wanted to know, well, what was Jesus going to do next? They just seen him cast out devils. The multitudes was following him. They said, you know what? Let's go follow Jesus. Let's go see what he's up to now. Let's see what he's going to do next. So they walking with Jesus. And they going with Jairus. And here it is that there was another woman that came in and missed it. I wonder why Mark put this in there, though. Because it doesn't seem like it should be here, though. Because the emphasis would be on Jairus. But here it is, this woman interposes in the text. She comes in from behind, and she had her own situation going on. Amen. Now here it is, we identified with sickness. Amen. But we also being identified with death at the same time also, though. Because these are the things that plague humanity. Demon possession or demonic influence. Sicknesses and death. And that's why Jesus came down here to deal with the demons in our lives, the sicknesses in our lives, and the death that ultimately going to take us one day. So as he's going along, the crowd is following him. And this woman that had an issue of blood, and said she was in this condition for 12 long years. She said that she spent all that she had. She spent all that she had. She went to every kind of physician you could imagine in that day. If she was here today, she would have went to the University of Penn. If she were here today, she would have went to Cancer Centers of America. She would have went to Jefferson. She would have went to Pennsylvania Hospital. She would have went to Temple Hospital. But I'm here to tell you today, there's some situations that are beyond humanity control. Don't get me wrong now. I'm not saying that the doctors aren't good for you to go to. But there are some situations where a doctor will shake his head and walk out the room. Has anybody been there and seen that? Amen. Don't get me wrong. Humanity has done some great things with medical breakthroughs. But I'm here to tell you today, there's still some situations that are beyond humanity's control. And Jesus is trying to tell you that devil influence is beyond humanity's control. Sickness is beyond humanity's control. And especially death is beyond humanity's control. So she spent all that she had. I mean, all. She gave all that she had. She cleaned out her bank account. She cleaned out her 401k. She turned in her stocks. She maxed out her credit card because people would spend all they had to get right. You don't believe me? Just ask Job. The devil even knows this, though. When the devil was tormenting Job in the Old Testament, though, the devil said that a human will give all he has for his life. Skin for skin, that's what the devil said. That a person will give all he has for to get well. So she's at the point, though. And she spent all that she had. She then maxed out the credit cards, then drained the 401k, then did all that she could. Sold her cars, her stocks first, everything. So she can get well. But it said nothing got better, but it said rather it grew worse. The more effort she put in, the more it got worse. And I'm here to tell you today, some of y'all putting in a lot of effort, but things are still getting worse in your life. So it says that when she got to the point of exhaustion and bankruptcy, it says she heard something. Well, what did she hear? She said, I heard a name. The sweetest name. Like Marvin Wallace, I heard a word. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. She heard about Jesus. And she says she heard. See, because you got to hear who Jesus is and what he's capable of doing. And what did she hear about Jesus? She heard that he's a healer. Oh, yes, he is. She heard that he's a miracle worker. The people that were delivered by Jesus was going out there proclaiming who Jesus was and what he was doing. And so that's why the church, once you get delivered,
Once you've been healed, once you've been saved, you got to tell somebody who Jesus is so they can get out of their hopeless and helpless situations. How did you get here? Somebody told you about the power of Jesus to forgive sins, to forgive guilt, to lift you up your burden and all your shame. It says she heard. She heard. She heard about the dynamic power of the man of God walking in the flesh. She heard about this person. See, you got to hear about him, but you got to hear the right thing about him. Amen. Come on now. You got to hear the right thing now. It's not enough to hear that he's a good teacher, Deke. Yeah, even though he is a good teacher, though, but that's not enough, though. It's not enough that he's a good and moral person, though. That's good as it is now. That's right, though. But you got to hear that he's the Son of God in the flesh. You got to hear that he came to heal, save, and to deliver us from all that plagues us. So she heard. She heard. But then something happened, though. Something inside her moved her towards Jesus. And it's one of the virtues of the Christian faith. There are three virtues in the Christian faith. Amen. And these three are hope, love, and faith. See, move. You got to operate in these three realms if you're a Christian now. You got to operate in hope. You got to operate in love. And you better operate in faith. She moved. She heard. She heard about what Jesus did. She heard about who he is. And then says within herself, she says, you know what? If he did it for them, he can do it for me. If he healed them, he can heal me. All I got to do is just move out. Amen. Because she came to Jesus distressed. Yes, she did. And see, this is why, this is what you know. You can't come to Jesus unless you feel your own distress. A lot of people can't come to Jesus because of their pride. But this woman's pride went out the window because she needed a breakthrough. She came distressed. She came like all of us need to come to Jesus, distressed, weary, wounded, and winded. I'm like, y'all not getting this today. But she also moved by faith. It was her faith in Jesus that drove her towards him. She heard about him because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. And know what else? And she came, but there was a crowd. It was a crowd. It was just so many people there. Now, she wasn't supposed to be there because she was ceremonially unclean because she had an issue of blood. She wasn't supposed to be there. She wasn't supposed to touch nobody. But you know what? Sometimes, when your situation is hopeless and helpless, you got to break the law. Because now I ain't talking about y'all going and robbing banks now. I'm not talking like that. I'm talking about you got to go to God and cross over because he's the only one that can help you. Amen. I know the law says that I'm ceremonially unclean, but I may only get this one shot to get to Jesus because he's passing by. So the crowd is there. And she didn't let the crowd dissuade her from coming to Jesus. Because she kept saying to herself, if I can just but touch his clothes, if I can just touch his clothes, if I can just touch his clothes, I know I could be made whole from what I'm going through. See, that's what she exhibited. She came distressed, but she perked up by faith. See, faith will cause you to move towards who God is. I know your situation is hopeless. I know things look bad in your life. But when you got to move by faith, because faith will say, you know what? It's not that bad because God sits high and God is able. God said he will keep me. Oh, y'all not getting this today. So she moves in. Then let the crowd deter her. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people let the crowd deter them from coming to Jesus. It might not be a multitude today, but the crowd on your job. Well, I wouldn't mess with you. Jesus is good, and Jesus is a good man. And you know, but I just don't believe that he's the Son of God. So that's the crowd right there. You got to let that crowd get away from that crowd and go over that crowd. Amen. Well, you know what, though? It's a lot of ways to God. No, get away from that crowd, because you got to go beyond that crowd, and you got to go to Jesus. That Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but except through me. So she moved in. And then she was saying, as she was going, though, see, this is what you got to do. You, as you're going, as you're moving, she didn't stay still, because faith is always active. See, as you're going along, as you're facing your situations, you got to keep saying within yourself. You got to bring the word up back in your life. It's like Psalm number 1. It says he meditate on his word day and night. What that means is, as a cow chooses cud, it brings it up, swallows it, brings it up again, swallows it, brings it up again. What you need to do is, though, bring the word of God back up in you. Swallow it, bring it up again. Swallow it, bring it up again. And allow the word of God to move you to where you're supposed to go. She moved. See now what she heard to transform her, give her faith. And she touched Jesus. Now, there was a lot of people in this crowd. They said it was a multitude. And Jesus had the audacity to say, well, who touched me? Somebody touched me. And the thing about this, the disciples said, and Jesus, you got the audacity to say somebody touched you? You see all these people? You see the press? You see the people moving in here? You ever go down? I went to the Eagles game this year. I mean, my wife took me for my birthday, the first game at home. And this was a lot of people down there. You know what I mean? I mean, people bumping you and touching you. And you expect to get touched in the crowd. That's what the disciples are saying. Jesus, look, you expect to get touched in the crowd. But Jesus said, this is a different kind of touch. This is the kind of touch that I always respond to. This is the kind of touch that I came looking for. This is the kind of touch that Abraham had. This is the kind of touch that David had. This is the kind of touch that Moses had. This is the kind of touch that Ruth had. This is the kind of touch that Boaz had. And what that touch is, that touch is faith. God always responds to faith. Everybody was touching him. The crowds were touching him. And Jesus didn't respond to them, but he responded to the touch of faith. I don't care what's going on all around you. You got to move by faith. If you have faith, you don't have to have a lot of faith. The Bible says, if you just have faith the size of a mustard seed, if you just have the faith the size of a mustard seed, Jesus said, you can say to yonder mountain, be cast into the sea. Oh, yeah. And Jesus said, hey, where is she? Jesus already knew who she was. And he said he looked around to see her. Out of all the hers in there, she wasn't the only her there, y'all. It was a lot of women that followed Jesus. But he looked around and he saw her that had done this thing. And Jesus, what does Jesus do? He says, look, he looks down and saw her. Because Jesus said, look, I know what this touch is. This is the touch of faith. Because I perceive that power or dunamis went out of me. Don't you know when you got put faith in the promises of God, that power goes out from the throne room of God? Oh, yes, it does. Out of all the people, as Jesus was going by, as Jesus was ministering, though, he said he just had to stop. He was walking, y'all. And then all of a sudden, somebody stopped. Something happened to Jesus. Like, he's one like this. Hold up. Wait a minute. Parenthetically, let's park here, Jesus was saying. Because somebody got a hold of me. Somebody realized who I am and what am I capable of doing. Yes, he did. He had to take time out. He had to take time out. He always will take time out. He always will. And even though there's many people thronging him, touching him, but he responded to this one. He responded to this person knew that he was a healer. He said, "Who touched me?" The disciples were so insensitive. "Lord, anybody touching you, Jesus?" But he said, no, this is a different kind of touch. This is the touch. It's a special touch. It's not any old kind of just in a crowd touch. This touch opens up the windows of heaven. And the woman, it says she was exposed. Amen. She wasn't supposed to be exposed, Sister DeAndre. Because they all knew she was unclean. But she was exposed. She was exposed to the eyes of the Savior. He zeroed in on her. He focused in on her. He zoomed, locked and loaded on her. And he said he turned around and looked to see her heard who had done this. And she came down fearing and trembling because she knew she was ceremonially unclean. She knew she had no right to touch the Savior. But Jesus didn't chide her. Jesus acknowledged her. She said, "Jesus, I was sick such a long time. I spent all my money. I was hopeless. I was helpless. But I heard about you. And I knew you was busy. But I wanted to really have a conversation with you. But you was just, it was just so many people, so I thought if I can just touch it. Touch you. Something associated with you. It will bring about the healing that I so desire." And Jesus said this to her. He said, "Daughter." Oh, let's stop right here. He said, "Daughter." Woo, I'm going to say it again. Y'all missed this. He said, "Daughter." It's a comedy. He said, "Daughter." He adopts her into the family of God because she came by faith. Amen. She exhibited faith. And then he goes on to say, "Your faith has made thee well." Has made thee well, whole, whatever the translation you have. The thing is this. She's well now, y'all. Amen. She's got the joy of the Lord back in her life. She's happy. She's healthy. Amen. And she's now a child of God. Amen. So I just stopped by to tell you today, Redeemer, that God will acknowledge your faith. All you got to do is just believe the promises of God. All you got to do when your situation looks hopeless and helpless, all you got to do is just remember the promises of God, that all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. You want to know why I love about this text right here? Because although she came distressed, amen, she came determined also. She didn't let the crowd deter her, but she also left delivered. When you exhibit faith, you'll come to God hopeless. You may come to God disturbed. You may come to God determined. But when you leave, you'll leave from God's presence delivered. Is there anybody in here that ever came into the presence of God by faith and took God by his word and acknowledged who God is and what God is capable of doing? I know 2017 was a rough year, but you know, God, if you give me another grace, if you give me more mercy, if you allow me to cross over in 2018, I will continue to walk by faith and not by sight. I know what the Republican did up on Capitol Hill, but I'm not going to worry about it because you said the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I know the community where I'm living in is trouble, but you said if you keep my mind stayed on you, you'll give me perfect peace. All I know is that without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that come to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder that seek him. I want somebody in here today to tell me that you're going to walk by faith and not by sight. I know things are bad in your life. life, but it ain't too bad for God, because God specializes in hopeless and helpless situations. You want to know how I know? Because I know this, that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, it was hopeless, it was helpless, they was cast out in the garden. But God, who was rich in mercy and grace, said, I got your back. I'm preparing you a savior. And he came down through 42 generations. He leaped out of a virgin's womb, and he came out. Even though he's the Son of God, even though we were supposed to worship him, even though we were supposed to serve him, he decided to take a towel and a basin of water and run around and wash humanity's feet. But that wasn't it. He went about healing people of their plagues and all their diseases. So what it has got to do with you and I, if we look at the word of God, if he did it for them, we know he can do it for us. But that's not the end of the story. Because I found out this, that if you walk with Jesus, if you follow Jesus, if you believe Jesus, you'll follow him to Golgotha's hill. You'll see him, let him nail him in his hand. That was for you. You'll see him nail him in the feet. That was for you. We see him pierce him in the side. That was for you. We see him laid in a borrowed tomb. That was for you. He laid there one day Friday night for you. He laid there Friday afternoon for you. He laid there Friday evening for you. He laid there Saturday morning for you. He laid there Saturday afternoon for you. He laid there Saturday night for you. But he got up early. He got up early. He got up early on Sunday morning. And I'm so glad that if I acknowledge my time as Jesus, he will acknowledge my faith. I don't have to have a whole lot of faith. I don't have to have a great bit of faith. All I have to do is have faith the size of a mustard seed. That's not a lot of faith, but that's enough faith to please God. Is there anybody in here that want to please God? Is there anybody want God to acknowledge them? Well, if you want God to acknowledge you, just believe the promises of God. Open up this book. There's a whole lot of promises in here. You want some promises. You want to know what he can do. He said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Oh, a seed begging bread. If you're worried about where your next meal going to come, all you got to do is ask. And it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open. What is that trying to say? Is that God says, if you're in trouble, if you got a need, all you got to do is come boldly to the throne of grace, that you might find help in a time of need. But the only way you can go to God, you can't go to God with hope so, maybe so. You can't vacillate. Well, maybe he will, or maybe he won't. You got to stand on the word of God. You got to be unmovable, unshakable, always abounding in the word of the Lord. Isn't he able? Isn't he able? I want somebody to tell me, and isn't he able? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he bless your life? Won't he heal your body? Won't he put food on your table? Won't he give a smile on your face? Won't he, 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 won't he do it? Say yeah.